ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني بزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. I'd like to begin by first thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most kind, the most merciful, for this opportunity to be here with the brothers on this night. It's a special time when mu'mineen gather together, especially to remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is one of the gifts of Imam Hussein, that love of him and the Ahlul Bayt and what he did can unite the hearts of the mu'mineen. And I want to thank the brother Sean and his family for the organization of this event. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. And I'd like us to please recite the Surah Al-Fatiha for all the shuhada and for all the marhumin and marhumat, especially the marhumin of his family and the families of those who are present in the gathering. Some of those lines came from in the biography, so I don't endorse necessarily everything that was said there. I'm just a humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to, inshallah, perform my duty, and I pray that all of us, inshallah, have the tawfiq to perform our duties, whatever they may be, inshallah. So those of you who came here thinking that we do a traditional majlis, I'm sorry to disappoint you. We're not going to do the traditional sort of thing while others talk. I prefer it to be interactive. And what I want to do first of all is say one thing that, you know, we this past summer, alhamdulillah, some of the students from Qom had the opportunity to conduct a couple of camps in North America where we were with the younger people and the ages around, say, 9 to like 16. And we went through different things. Like, in a very intense period of time, we went through a lot of different material, and it was very, alhamdulillah, very successful. And alongside with just learning, we also had spiritual activities like congregational prayers and like, some fun activities too, like football and these type of things. And yes, Mawlana's do play football. You guys know Brother Asa Jafri, right? You can talk pretty well. Anyhow, one of the things that I noticed during the camps was that everyone has been taught how to do things like wudu and salat. But when we would examine them, for some reason it seemed that people, you know, didn't really get it. And just to give you statistics, a statistic, out of one center, not in this city, in another city, I looked at the wudu of about, let's say, 40 children. And out of those 40 children, one had a wudu which was correct. All the other 39, their wudu was not correct. And this is a staggering statistic when you think that, especially when we know that wudu is one of the things that is required in many cases in order for somebody to do other things like salat. And salat is one of the most important wajibat that we have. We have hadith that say that, you know, on the Day of Judgment we'll be asked about our salat. And if it is accepted, then there's a possibility of everything else being accepted. But if the salat is rejected, then everything else is rejected. So just alhamdulillah, we have this opportunity here. We're alive. We have the opportunity to learn and to reform and to change. So before we begin with the main topic, I thought I'd just review quickly some of the rules of wudu, so that at least the brothers who have gathered, if you don't get anything else from the presentation tonight, inshallah, at least you can get a practical point about how you can act and how you can make a difference in your own practice. Because, brothers, we have to realize that this love of Imam Hussein Islam is not a true love unless we do what Imam Hussein wanted us to do. Okay, love, we can't say that we love Imam Hussein, but do something other than what he tells us to do. Love is only comes about when we align ourselves with the ideals and the practices of Imam Hussein. And all of you know that, you know, on the night of Ashura, what was Imam Hussein Islam busy doing? Okay. This was the last opportunity he had. He knew that tomorrow he would die. But they say that, you know, he tells his brother to go to the enemy camp and to request some respite so that he gets some time to recite prayers and do Quran and do istighfar. Okay, because Allah knows that I love salah. He knows that I love to recite prayers. So this is the practice of Imam Hussein. This is a practically acting upon this love that we have of Imam Hussein in Islam. Now, for the wudu, just quickly, if we want to know how to do the wudu, we have two options. One of them is that we ourselves can go to the books, like go to the Quran, go to the books of Hadith, and derive the rules. But that is not something that's very easy to do, because it's a very, very detailed, lengthy process, and requires expertise. And so those of brothers who have that ability to go and get that expertise from the sources of learning and spend many years studying that and then coming out as mujtahids, you know, you're welcome to do that. But those of us who don't have that time, or we're not there yet, or, you know, we have other things that we're busy doing, like school here, what we need to do then is to resort to an expert and say, what does the expert say on how to do the wudu? And this is called taqlid. And so the first step in order to find out how we should do something like prayers or wudu is to do taqlid. Now, whom do we do taqlid of? We do taqlid of the most knowledgeable scholar, the one who has the best ability to derive the rules. How do we know which scholar that is? It has to be on a basis of, has to be justified. And so either, you know, he has to be a scholar that's so well known to be the most learned that you can derive confidence that yes, this person must be the most learned scholar. Or if that's not the case, then at least like two people who are experts and who can determine, you know, who is the most learned, those two people should say that yes, this person is the most learned scholar. Once you've identified the scholar, then you can go about learning what it is that we need to do on a practical basis if you want to act upon this love that we have for Imam Hussein and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And if we want to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to achieve perfection in our lives, which is through the Sharia. Now, what do we need to know? Do we need to know all the rules? No, we need to know those rules that actually apply to us. Okay, the rules of what happens to women, you know, in certain times of the year doesn't apply to the brothers here. Okay, the rules of what happens in the details of Hajj do not apply to most of us here right now. What does apply is when we need to go to Hajj. Right, but once that happens, once it becomes wajib on us to go to Hajj, then we can find out the rest of the details. Right now we don't have to find out about that. But something like wudu is important for everyone to know because it affects us all the time. We need wudu if we want to, for example, say prayers, if we want to touch the Quran. Right, this is something that's necessary. Now I need a volunteer from one of the younger brothers who's not ashamed to be in front of everyone just to so I can like kind of point out on his body the different parts that need to be watched for wudu. Can you do it? Are you? Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. If you don't mind listening, okay. Please write salawat for our brother. What's your name?
Alina.
Alina. Okay, now, those of you who have kind of said, okay, this is way too easy for me, you know, I was looking for something really complicated, please pay attention. You might find out something that you didn't know before. What happens a lot of times is because of habit, we stop paying attention to what we're doing. And there's two dangers in doing that. Number one is that when we stop paying attention, we might be breaking the rules. Okay, and if that's the case, then it might be invalid and it's problematic. Number two is that if we don't pay attention, we're missing out because the experience of doing wudu is supposed to be something that elevates our spirit. When you take water and we splash it on our face and in our arms and we wipe, all of these have significance. And somebody who does it with attention to Allah, that they're doing this for the sake of Allah, they're in His presence, and they're taking this water, maybe even they're reciting some of the du'as that we've been told to recite, then the experience of doing wudu itself will be an amazing experience, a very uplifting, spiritually powerful experience. So we need to pay attention when we're doing the wudu. So we start out, first of all, we make the niyyah that we want to do wudu. Okay. And at that point now we are going to take water. And we're going to take it and we need to, first of all, the first step is to wash our face. Now when pouring the water, we should pour from the point where the hair grows, the hairline. Okay, if somebody doesn't have a hairline because, you know, for some reason they shaved their head or whatever it may be, they look at the hairline the way it used to be, or the way it would be on somebody, you know, typically it would be on a typical person. Okay, you're going to start at the top, you're going to pour the water, and then you're going to, with your hand, you know, help the water come down, okay, if you need to. And you're washing your face here, okay? What's the area that needs to be washed? You take your thumb and your middle finger, you can do that, right, and spread them apart right now. Just do that. You put your thumb and middle finger.
Yeah, mind if he stands up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, take your thumb and your middle finger. Okay, spread it apart, all the brothers. Okay. Now center that on your nose. Okay. And now move up and down. Move up and down. This is the area that needs to be washed. At the top, it's going to be the topmost boundary is going to be what? The hairline. And the bottom is going to be the end of the chin. Okay, good. Now, so this brother is going to wash from the top all the way to the bottom. Now, the important thing is to wash in a downwards direction only. So, for example, if he's taking the water, right, and he's going like this, this is fine. He pours it and then he's like going down like this, going down like this, it's fine. Now, if he were to go like this, though, this would not be a valid form of washing. Okay? He needs to be washing from top down. Alright? And he's going to be doing that, and one of the other things that we need to keep in mind is that if you want to wash from the hairline, okay, if he starts exactly at the hairline, is that going to be a guarantee for him that he actually washed the hairline? No. So what does he need to do? Just a little bit above the hairline. Just a little bit. So that he makes sure that he gets the hairline itself. Okay, and that's the same thing is going to apply to all the other places of washing that we mentioned in the wudu. Okay, so he's going to be doing the washing. Now, in terms of washing, you can wash once, you can wash a second time, but the third time of washing makes your wudu not valid. Now, what constitutes a wash? Is it just when you take water, then that's one wash? No. Okay. What exactly is a wash? Now, this differs according to the scholars, right? But those of you who have followed Ayatollah Khamenei, as in, you know, he's your marja, and what he says is that it depends on your intention. Okay, as soon as you yourself, within yourself, you say that, okay, I finished one wash, then you finish one wash. And then you can do the second wash. Those of you who follow Ayatollah Sistani, what he says is that, no, when you've taken water and you've poured it and you've made sure you covered the entire region, to the point where there's no need to pour any more water, then whether or not you intend or not, that you finish one wash. So if you take some more water, that's going to be your next wash. Is that clear? Any questions so far? Yeah.
So one wash is just taking water once, so you can wipe it as many times as you want.
You can take water as many as times as you want.
So even taking water three times.
Okay. But according to Ayatollah Sistani, right, once you've taken enough water and you've poured it on and spread it, right, such that the entire region is covered, then you're done with one wash. Okay, so if that happens with, like, you know, two things of water, or maybe some people will take four, whatever it may be, but as soon as you're done with one wash. Yeah.
So, like, when I'm doing the zoo, I can go like this, and then go back, and then do like that?
Yes, you can, but remember to pour from the top, though.
Yeah, from one wash.
Pour from the top of the, yeah, and then, yeah. So you can take multiple, you can do, like, one scoop for, like, the right side, one scoop for the left side, that would be fine. Okay? Alright, any other questions? Okay, now, the next step will be to wash the right hand. Now, what the brother is going to be doing is, he'll take his arm like this. If you have sleeves, even if you have short sleeves, most of the time, a lot of times short sleeves go down a little bit to the elbow. So it's good to, like, fold it off like this. Okay? And now he's going to take water with his left hand. Okay, he's going to pour it from above the elbow, because the wajib part to wash is from the elbow, okay, all the way till the fingertips. And he's going to pour it and then help spread it down. Okay? All the way down. Now, suppose that sometimes you can also have a tap that the water is running on the tap. In that case, he can just take his hand and swipe it under the tap. That would also be sufficient as well too, as long as he's going from top down. Alright? And he's going to make sure to get every part. A lot of people miss this. They wash. Now, one time, look in the mirror, and a lot of times you'll see that there's like this white stripe right here. Okay, because this is the hardest part to get. It's the back part. Okay, so make sure you get the whole area. If you want, you can take, you know, one one handful for this side, and then one handful for this side as well. Okay. Also, another place people tend to miss is between the crevices of the fingers. For that, one good way to do that is to, the brother can go like this, and then at the end, he can just take this and put his finger in between, like this, and go like that. Okay. That way he'll have made sure that he's washing all the parts of his hand. Sometimes people do that, and then they go like this. Does that work? Why not?
No, going opposite direction.
Going opposite direction. I'm going bottom up. Right? Bottom up doesn't mean like bottom up, like isn't like physically bottom up, right? I can be going like this. That's fine. But I can't go like this. If his hand is like this, right? So what's he doing? The stylist will do it, right? Like this. So if he's washed, he can wash like this, right? That's fine. But he can't go from here to here. Alright. Any questions about this?
What if you go the other way, like this?
Meaning what?
When you go down like this?
Yeah.
Some people go around and they go like this.
Well, that's fine, as long as you're not going like this. What's that?
Towards the fingertips.
Towards the fingertips. You're going in towards the fingertips. That's the direction you want to be going towards, the fingertips. Well, however direction your hand may be in. Yeah.
You can take as many scoops for this as well?
It's the same thing. That you take, but keep in mind what we said, right? According to Ayatollah Khamenei, it's your intention, right? As soon as you intend that you finish one wash, you finish one wash. However many scoops you've taken. According to Ayatollah Sistani, as soon as he's washed the wajib region, which is from the elbow all the way to the fingertips, and there's nothing else left, he's done. With one wash. Okay? That might happen with one scoop, might happen with three scoops, whatever it may be. Then he's gonna do the same thing now with his right hand, with his left hand, and again, if you wanted to, you could just, if there's water that's flowing, you just go like that, underneath the water, and that would also be sufficient. Or you could do that and then, with his hand, help it to go all the way. Right? The next step will be to wipe the head. Now, if you look at his head here, there's one part here, one part here, one part here, and one part here, right? Four quadrants. Well, or five parts. The place we need to wipe on is this part right here, which is the top. Okay, so anywhere in the top he can wipe. Except, if he's on a part, okay, if he wants to wipe on a hair, and that hair is not entirely contained within that top right here, he can't use that hair. For example, this hair right here, okay, this hair right here actually goes beyond this top quadrant of his head. It flows down into his face. So that hair is not going to be valid for him to do the wiping on. But if he moves back here, he can use this, he can do it on the hair, that's fine. Because this hair is entirely contained within this top right here. Now people who have long hair, like a lot of the women, for example, most of their hair at the top, it goes all the way down and it extends beyond here. It can go down here, it can go down here, it can go down here. So they won't be able to do it on their top of their hair. They have to dig down and get to a place where it's going to be contained only within that region. And the wiping can be done with any number of fingers. Mustahab is three. Okay. You can do it like this. You can do it with your palm of your hand as well too. There's no minimum distance of wiping. You can go down like this. You can go down like that. Whatever it may be. You can go this way, that way. It just has to be a wipe. Just take care not to go wipe all the way down to your forehead and make your hand wet. Because if you do that, then your hand is going to have water, okay, which it picked up from the face. And when you wipe your feet, you want to make sure that you just have that same water that you had from the wudu, not that you pick up any new water. Is that clear? Okay. Yeah.
What about the tap? When the tap is wet?
Yeah. So you have to be careful when you take water, okay, at the end, when you're washing your left hand, right? And so you wash your left hand, then you turn off the tap, okay? Now, you turn off the tap, and if the tap is wet, you got some new water on your fingertips. Okay, you can't use that water for wiping your foot. Okay, so when you wipe your foot, for example, what you can do is wipe it not with your fingertips, wipe it with the side of your hand and go like this way. Okay? Or when you turn off the tap, turn it off with the back of your hand. Or turn it off before you finish washing your left hand. Okay? Alright, that's the top, and then
Okay, what about people who wear gel or have hair products?
Okay, so if you have a hair product, then you have to do it on the scalp or on the hair that's entirely contained within the top quadrant. If you have gel, you're doing it on the gel, not on your head. So you make sure that you have one part on gel, even in a small area, it's on gel, and do it on that part. The rest of it, you can gel. Pretty simple, right?
It goes for anything? Any hair product that can act as a barrier between the water?
As long as, if it's a barrier of the water penetrating, then yeah, it would. You'd have to make sure that it's not there on the part that you're doing the wiping. Awesome. Same thing when you're doing like mass on your feet, you can't do it on the socks. Right? Unless there's some conditions where if it's extremely cold, you know, or you have some fear or something, then you know this. But normally, no, you're not going to do it on the socks. Yeah.
Can you go backwards on your head?
For the wipe, yeah.
Alright.
Anything else?
You can.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, do it again.
But
your hair there doesn't work because your hair is falling into this thing.
Split it up a bit, but I'm just saying in general, you can go backwards from us.
From us, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what if you have like gel everywhere?
So you make sure that you leave like one part that's on gel, right? Or if you haven't, then for the wudu itself, right? Just like somehow figure out a way to remove the gel from like one, even a small area, even like, you know.
Can't just dig down deep? Or just go to the roots?
You said you have gel everywhere.
And just go to the roots.
Yeah, just
go to the
roots.
Okay, if it's not on the roots?
Well, I guess it wasn't in the roots.
Okay, so if you can go to the roots and you're hitting the scalp itself and there's no gel on the scalp, then yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So going back to the hands, do we have to worry about getting water inside the roots?
No, no. But just the outer part. Oh. Yeah. Nothing interior. Alright, and then the next step, the last step would be to wipe the feet, okay? Wiping the feet, you wipe from the toe all the way to the, according to some marjas, it's the upper part, okay. So, some people say some marjas say it's this part right here, some say it's the ankle, okay, where the ankle bone is right here. Alright, so, to be safe, just go all the way to the ankle, alright? And you're going to wipe the minimum width is like one toe. So you can go from the toe all the way to the top, even one finger, that's fine. Or you can take the whole hand, for example, and go all the way to the top. You can even put it here and then just go like this too, alright? Yeah.
Can you wash your feet before you do wuzu?
Yeah, you can do that, but make sure that before you do the wipe, you dry off your foot. For example, like take your foot and you can wipe it.
Dry clean.
On the back of your hands.
So every part has to be dry, but dry clean?
Dry, because when you wipe, you have to make sure that you're doing a wipe. And if there's water there, all right, it's not going to be considered a wipe, right? Because you're just, the water's there, you're not really like wiping water onto that part. So when you're doing the wiping, you have to make sure that the part that you're wiping is dry enough such that the water that you put on it is going to have an effect. Okay. Yeah.
I have two questions. First of all, you have to dry it to the toes with, right? You don't have to completely dry your feet.
Yeah, because the minimum width, as we said, is one toe, right? So if you're doing on one toe, yeah, you can do that one toe all the way to the ankle, yeah.
Alright, and let's say you're in the middle of wuzu,
yeah,
and you mess up, right, and you have to redo it.
Yeah.
Do you have to dry your face and your hands and everything all over again, or can you redo it?
No, when you do your face and your hands, just make sure that the water that you, and most of the time, the water that you're going to put on is going to overwhelm the water that's already there. You know, that's not a problem, the face and the hands. You're going to be putting the water and you're going to be washing it. It's not a problem if water is already there because you're going to overwhelm it with the water that you're putting on. But the part that's of a concern is the parts that you're wiping, which is the top and the feet. That one small area, you know, or if you want to do a larger area that you're going to wipe, that part has to be dry enough so that when you wipe, it has an effect. So, for example, if you take a towel, right, and you like rub it, you know, on this one part, for example, rub, right? Okay. Then that's the part that you do the wipe on. You're fine. Okay, it's easy, right? And then the feet, yeah. As I said, the feet, you can, like a good place, right? Do that thing, you know, behind, like, wipe it behind your foot.
Right, wipe on your knee.
Wipe your foot on the back of your leg.
Dry your foot.
Like this. Oh. Yeah, yeah. See, if he does that, right? See that? Before he does the wiping, then it's pretty easy. Any other questions?
Can you do massage on wet hairs?
Okay, the massage.
Just like, you know, you came after taking the shower,
right.
It's time to pray.
Right. So what you do is you just take your towel and a small part of your hair, just make that small part dry enough so that when you do the mass, it's going to have, the water is going to go on that.
You feel the touch.
You feel that the water is transferred. Okay.
Yes.
You don't have to dry your whole head, right? If you want to, you can. But at least just one part of it, you just, you know, make it so that when you do the wipe, it actually has an effect and then you're okay.
Just one more thing to clarify. So is it the scalp you're going for or the hair?
Okay, the important, as we said, it has to be something, some part of your head that is this, the top part of your head.
So it can be any part.
So it can be the scalp, right? It can be a hair as well too, as long as that hair
is entirely contained within the top part. Because
okay.
if it's not, then it's not considered the top of your head.
So let's say you sweat or you take a shower after and your hair is still damp, you can go down to the scalp area and...
Yeah, that's fine. If you go to the scalp, it's safe, right? Because, I mean, then you don't have to worry about, like, the hair. But yeah. So if you're going down to the scalp, that's fine. Okay. And, of course, when you're doing the wiping, you should make sure that you're doing the wiping, not that you're getting wiped. Okay? So, for example, like, when you do the foot, right? In one case, I can wipe like this, right? Another case, my foot is going like this. So, for example, people who put their foot in the air and then they do the wipe, they have to have really good balance if they want to do it properly. Otherwise, it's safer to just put your foot on something stationary and then do it. So that you're making sure that you're doing the wiping, not that your foot is getting wiped. Sorry, not that your hand is getting wiped by your foot.
You can't do the feet at the same time, right?
There's different opinions, but there, the common rule on that is that you can't do the feet at the same time. First do your right, and then you do your left. Yeah.
You also can't have someone else pour the water for you, right?
That's right.
What about the tap? Can someone hold the tap for you?
Hold the tap for you?
Because that guy can.
Yeah. They're holding the tap and you're taking the water?
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. People say that's yeah. It might be makruh. It might be makruh, but it's fine. It doesn't make it invalid.
Is there a limitation to how much water we can use?
It can't be considered israf, right? Where you're wasting water. But wasting, I mean, in terms of like when it becomes that, it's like wasting a lot of water, right? But it's a good, at an akhlaqi level, at an ethical level, you know, it's good to, like the Ahlul Bayt used to take little water, and not so little that, you know, it's, they say they take little water, but enough so that it's flowing properly. Okay, so it's a good idea to like learn how to do wudu in a way that you can take the water and turn off the tap while you're actually, you know, doing this thing, and then turn on again, and then turn it off again. That's the best way of doing wudu. You know, after all, you know, we should be kind of conscious about these type of resources. Yeah.
Is it mustahab to do ghusl after Jum'a namaz? Like, before Jum'a namaz?
It's one of the most highly recommended mustahabat that we have, is to ghusl on the day of Friday. Okay, please say salawat.